Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. So let's bring her out. The star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
Hi, welcome to the most incredible podcast around.
Yeah.
Kill Me Now. I'm Judy Gold. Our guest today is... Well, let me just start. No, shut the fuck up. I know what I'm going to say. Lauren's also here, just saying things that annoy me and doing the boards and really getting on my nerves. So our guest today... I don't know how to describe... I mean, there's so many different ways to describe him. He's very good looking. I mean, in a classic sort of... That whole... It's gone away. The handsomeness
yes.
of you.
I'm not castable.
You are... I mean,
you are a walking soap opera.
Hey, Lauren! Sorry, everyone who's listening in the car. I'm doing my intro.
I'm sorry.
She's worked on this.
Yeah.
He's classically handsome.
Yeah.
He's incredibly... intelligent, funny, worldly, and curious. He is entertaining. He's a family man.
Ugh.
He's out. Yeah, I know. Same.
Ugh.
He is. He's just. It's like you meet him and you're never going to meet anyone like him again. He's just so well. John
Fugel sang. This is so nice because I've loved her since I was a little kid watching her on the DuMont Network.
Shut your mouth. John is way
I'm
older
about to
than
puke
me.
All over the desk.
Ladies and gentlemen, John Fugelsang,
Judy
thank
Gold
you so
was
much
a
for
special
being
guest, like the second open mic
now
I ever did. And
John,
just...
you're paying way too much. I don't know if you know. Have you met Lauren?
I've met Lauren.
Okay.
I'm mansplaining.
Okay.
Yes.
So Lauren...
are you really mansplaining? I thought I...
So you know Lauren is trans, correct? Or no?
I don't know anything.
Okay. So Lauren is trans.
Okay.
So Lauren
great career
looks...
Fun.
I want... So Lauren is basically feedback on the show. Like, she is not allowed.
He, you had it right.
I know. I did that on purpose.
I know you did.
Just to annoy him. So Lauren is a man, has always been a man, got a little upset when his penis didn't grow in and his mother told him he couldn't wear shirts, no shirt around the house because he would get boobs, and was like, what are you talking about? So now Lauren is...
In a nutshell, yeah. What happened?
And so Lauren is a man, but has a female...
Hookup.
Body.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Body. It's not even that female, but whatever. And...
thank you.
You're welcome. And does not want to transition. Gets gets a lot of acting work as a dykey woman.
Mm-hmm.
And is now in a play.
And a feminine woman.
Yeah. No.
I clean up.
And also is now in a play where he's playing a guy. Okay.
Wow.
We're done. Yes, we're done.
Lauren, how do you self-identify?
I am not playing a guy. I'm playing a girl.
I thought you were playing a guy.
No, I'm playing a lesbian. I did just a one act. It was the only show that I did in this past
one. Oh, that's the one I was thinking of. Okay.
Yeah, it's the only time I played a non-transitioning trans guy.
Okay.
So, I'm mistaken for transgender, but I'm actually just...
Are you really?
Is that true?
I classify as sissy. Yeah, but...
No, you're not. You have hairy face.
You're a
okay,
sissy
Lauren,
man.
Lauren. You're a little...
Instead of cis man.
Did you take your Adderall today?
No, I ran out.
Okay, you got to come down.
I know.
Do you want some Ritalin?
Sure.
I don't have it. Anyway, so John Fugelsang, first of all, thank you.
Thank you.
I always begin the broadcast with a Kill Me Now moment.
Please.
Because it is Kill Me Now, and we will talk about the things that you're passionately angry about.
Oh, yeah. I pray for sweet, merciful death's loving embrace.
Thank you.
On a regular basis.
And how articulate, and your mastery of the English language is incredible. But
word.
You just made this show classy.
Holla.
Lauren, you're making it unclassy.
Holla! Sorry.
Did you know that on my Instagram, you know, they have the description, I wrote, I love Khala. That's it. So, John.
Follow Judy Gould on Instagram at J-E-W-D-Y Gold.
Okay,
I feel like I'm not getting this started, and I want to get it. So,
yeah,
John,
I'd love to start.
Here's my Kill Me. Okay. This is my Kill Me Now moment,
please.
Which you will be experiencing before you know it. Yesterday, I had to drive Henry to Newburgh, New York, to take his driver's test. Okay. Now, the reason it's in Newburgh is because you can never get one close by, and you have to months in advance. So we had to go to Newburgh. I don't know if you know anything about Newburgh, but
I spent a month there one weekend.
Okay. I was trying to look up while we went.
I thought I was high.
No, you're not. But you're going to be if you don't shut up.
Promise?
So anyway, I wanted to find out more about Newburgh because it looks like it was a beautiful port city in the late 1800s and early 1900s. And now it's a dilapidated, like makes Detroit look like, you know,
good place for a driver's
East Hampton.
Test.
Yeah. So, not that any Newburgh people, I'm not trying to.
You all suck.
No.
We hate you.
That's not what she said, Lauren.
Oh, that's not. Oh. Can you. It's just sad. It's sad what happened to that town because it looked like a beautiful town, and the buildings that were left looked like they. It was. It's. There's so much history there, and yet now it's, and it's so sad. And it's beautiful. I mean, the mountains.
Was it a fishing town?
It seems as if it was, but it was a port. So I'm thinking it was a lot of commerce back and forth. All right. Anyway, so I had to drive. He wanted to drive there, which is against, you know, rules. So, but I let him drive until we got off. And then I was like, oh, my God, I can't take it. So then we get there and I say to the woman who's the most miserable human being. And literally it's on a street and there's just a sign like a parking sign that says New York State Driver's Test. It's literally like you're driving down any street USA.
And you're saying that an unfulfilled, unhappy person
right,
does driver's tests in Newburgh,
New York. Until I ran around 60 times wondering where the thing is. Because when I took the test, you went to a thing.
You went to a thing and there was a desk and a person. And then,
and then there was a course that you drove around. Okay, no. So we were like wazing it. I have no idea that it's just a fucking sign and a miserable woman, you know, next to a cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
So we finally get there and I said, I'm so sorry. We were on time, but I said, I'm sorry we couldn't find it. And she goes, well, you're the first person today who couldn't find it. I'm like, Yeah, we're from New York City, and it's miserable. Like, miserable. Has not been touched.
Oh, yeah.
In, like, 30 years, mm-hmm. and 30 years ago, it was, like,
was her,
you know,
wedding
her coach.
Day.
So, so anyway, so she gets in the car. I said, can you, do you know how long it'll be? I can't answer that question. I was like, oh, my God.
Okay.
So then Henry, I can tell he's nervous, but he's very friendly, and he's like, hi, I'm Henry. And she said, great. So he goes up to the light, and I could see he already fucked up because he stopped at the – oh, it was a stop sign. He stopped way too early, and then he stopped again and then saw someone was coming. So he tried to back up, and there was a truck behind him. So that's minus, okay. You know.
Yeah.
So I'm like, fuck, I can't. So then he goes around the corner. I'm not even paying attention. I don't know what's going on. He's driving. And then all of a sudden he comes back like 10 minutes later, maybe less. And she's just sitting there talking to him. I'm like, oh, fuck, I can't. Because mm-hmm. you know the tantrum
oh, yeah.
and crying.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I failed driver's tests like JFK Jr. failed bar exams. I know exactly.
Yeah. Where so I, of course, first try. And I am the queen of parallel parking.
Well, okay. Lesbians are better people. We know
that's
this.
Right. So anyway, he talks to her, and then he gives me.
Debatable.
She gets is getting out, and then she gives me the thumbs up. And I'm like, oh, thank God.
Wow.
So I get there, and he's like, you know, you can get. They take off points.
Yeah.
And the maximum amount of points they can take off is 30. Once you hit 31, you no license. And he had pulled her. She had pulled him over after a few moments and said, you're not doing well. And he got really nervous. But the day before, I spent hours teaching him how to parallel park, and he scratched my car. Anyway, but he passed with the 30 points.
Congratulations.
And
question mark?
He drove home, and it is so nerve-wracking sitting in the car while your kid's driving, and you're like, oh, no. Yeah, and relax, mommy, relax. And then so finally I was just like, you know what? I'm giving him back what he did to me. And I'm like, Henry, can you turn off your stupid music so I can listen to my headphones? Henry, how much longer? How much longer? And I just – and he he was getting so mad, and he's like, "Well, I'm not playing Broadway tunes while I like gyrate at the, you know." And so it was so funny, but and I
do
said,
have video of her gyrating the Broadway tunes. In the
I
car.
Said, "Let's make a video of this." He's like, "No!" Like he has wants nothing to do with the only thing he wants.
You just drove this brat to get his license. Where's
I know.
He got cop in an attitude. For?
But he is not.
I've met this guy.
Tell him.
Yeah, he's great. But he has to approve every photo that goes up of him.
Oh.
So yeah. I took a picture of him in the car, and then he's like, let me see, you know, he has to look like, you know, he's 19.
Yeah.
I posted a photo of him the other day in a Mack Weldon shirt, which was our sponsor, and they have like really nice clothes, you know, yeah. But they sent it to him.
They
some
sent me
sons.
Some stuff, so I gave to the kids, of course.
Yeah. And I got a couple things. And so he's, you know, I take a picture of him, and he looks like a supermodel. I mean, like, he looks like Superman.
He hates it.
Like, you and him on the cover of
oh,
GQ.
Oh, my God. He's got that handsomeness
ridiculous.
Like you, that classic.
Yeah,
does he have
yeah.
that death-like pallor and the Don Knotts torso like
no.
me?
No.
Okay.
Comic. So anyway, I post this picture and I'm like, you too can look like a supermodel if you wear Mack Weldon, you know. Judygold.com/Mack.
Yeah, oh, then. Get this off me. Get this picture. I mean, I like get yelled at. So I wrote to Lauren. I said, can you just take it down? And Lauren's like, I'm sorry. I said, it's not even.
That's a sign he's a good guy.
It's just him.
A little humility is good for
and
him.
Lauren thinks I said, I totally took the blame. I didn't. Say, Lord.
I mean,
I didn't want.
This is
know.
A happy story.
It's okay. I would have taken.
This is not
it.
A kill me now.
Okay,
story.
I have so much. No, but it was like I wanted to kill myself in the fucking car with him, and then you know he almost hit a bike. I said, "You are a bicyclist, and you better be nice to the bicycle riders." And he won't beep at them or anything, but he almost killed one last night on 10th Avenue.
That's
but
not good.
And he's mad at me for screaming. You know what? You're not patient. I'm like, literally, we're near death's door, and I'm like, stop! And you know, so it's whatever. But it was definitely kill me now. And now I will not have a good night's sleep until like 2070.
Yeah,
because he has a license.
Yeah, I won't.
Like
either.
Most kids in New York don't have a
you're
license.
You're so lucky that he's ready to leave and drive away. That's a good.
Well,
thing.
He left.
I have a toddler.
Yeah, no, he left, and he's.
I have many
leaving.
Years to wait for this.
Well, him and his girlfriend have been living with me all summer, and I want to kill myself.
Oh
anyway,
God! Well,
as soon as he leaves, she's going
to
be a wreck.
John, I have
it.
To tell
I can
you.
Top it. Because the other night, I got you know, the woman I live with and the child I live with, and then my ex-girlfriend moved in. That's my summer story.
Wait,
there's my reality.
Do we have any sound effects?
That's a sitcom.
No? Okay. Yeah. Are you fucking kidding?
No, no.
Why?
Because my ex, who's one of my closest friends, one of my wife's closest friends, has had a really bad year, and the friend who was renting her an apartment said, "I'm selling the place." And she called up her boyfriend, this douchebag, and said, "I need a place to live." And he said, "Oh, well, you can't move in here." And so I was like, "Damn, well, so we have a guest room. Come stay with us for the summer. It's fine." So she moves in, and it's great. We have a toddler. More grown-ups, the better.
Right.
More people. For
does
that
she babysit?
Crib lizard to go look at.
Yeah.
Yes, she babysits. She the other night we put him to bed and she watched him so we could go out and waste $40 on the new Woody Allen film. She
right.
does nice things for us.
Right.
It was like watching old men
don't
die.
You get free. You can go for free to the Woody Allen.
No.
Show your SAG card.
That's only for award season, I think.
Oh, right. What? Oh, yeah. It's August.
It's
sorry.
August. So the other night, my wife had to go out with her coworkers because mm-hmm. my wife's boss died at age 37 in her sleep.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
Why?
It's been quite a summer. First day of our vacation, by the way, her boss died. So
wait, no wait, vacation. Wait, what? 37 in her sleep?
Yes.
Why?
We don't know.
Is the husband upset about her dying?
He's devastated.
Oh, all right.
God,
so he didn't do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Devastated. Really nice guy.
So
she died at 37, first day of our vacation. So there goes my, you know, I didn't have a summer
vacation.
So
then you went back and.
So my wife has to go
Jewish?
Out now. Yes.
Oh, good. So it was a quick funeral.
My wife has to go out now with all the bosses.
Right. Because
now she's not the VP. She doesn't want to be the VP, but she's doing the VP's job.
Right, of course.
And she keeps saying, "I don't want this job," but now she has to go out drinking with them all. She's a lightweight, a vegetarian, lightweight. Comes home, hungover all day, comes home from work early because she's so sick. So I come home. I'm so exhausted. So my whole night is, I get the toddler. I have to give him dinner and put him to bed and read him stories and do the whole thing. And all I want to do is go to sleep.
Yeah.
Or maybe all I really want to do is watch the final episode of True Detective so I can have one last disappointment
right.
from that whole experience. So, because it's fascinating to watch. I finally get the child to bed, and he decides this night to be the biggest crib lizard brat of all time. He won't stop getting out of bed. Wasn't ready to give up the crib. We didn't need to get rid of the crib. My wife was bored for the weekend, decided to dismantle the crib, make it a child's bed. So now he's up when he wants to be up, and the lights are on. We don't sleep anymore. 6:30 this morning he comes in. Her fault. So I blame her. So I finally get the child to bed at 9.
Bitch.
I go upstairs, and as soon as I sit down, my wife comes outside to the back porch and begins vomiting all over the place.
Oh.
And I'm holding her hair back, trying to help
God.
Her. Everything I say is wrong. Everything I say makes it worse. Mm. Finally get her to bed, and at that second, my ex has been dumped by the douchebag.
Oh.
So now I'm up till midnight with the ex.
Oh, my God. Perfect storm.
I'm up till midnight with the ex who's sobbing and sobbing. And this guy was such a tool. I mean, he
Did you hug her?
I hugged her a lot.
What did your wife see?
My wife hugs her all the time. We're all very close.
See,
she and I were together many years ago. We're all very codependent.
Elisa would freak out. Go.
Well, my wife introduced me to her years ago,
right.
and then we broke up for a year, and I dated her.
Right.
It's all codependent.
Okay, whatever. Yeah.
Big love shit.
You're like a lesbian.
I know.
Yeah.
That's like lesbians are like.
Believe me, we have total. We're right down to the bed death. We are a lesbian couple.
Oh, wow.
I know about that.
But I actually don't have that.
What bed death?
For some
lesbian
reason.
Lesbian bed death?
What is this?
Lesbian bed death!
It's
when lesbians,
two women...
after like 5 years, 4 years, they stop having sex.
Yeah.
Really?
Straight people have that too.
But so, I don't. That's the thing with Elisa. Like,
I don't know.
We still have sex all the time.
I
love having sex with her. She's, yeah, the first person I'm like, oh, I hate you, but I'm still attracted
you know what?
To
that,
you.
That makes me. That makes a lot of sense.
Well, my wife's bisexual, so I'm halfway lesbian.
What?
You are, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, and you have an open relationship?
That's not what this show's about. This show's about miserable things.
No, I want to hear about...
Let me finish this. Hang on. So I finally get my sick wife to bed. Then my ex is sobbing, and I'm up with her till
we're in.
1 in the morning. And then the next morning, the child's up at 6 a.m. I get up because my wife was sick before. He's not himself. He's not feeling well. I go upstairs, make him his smoothie, make him his waffle. I make a hell of a smoothie.
First of all,
you stay at my house, I make you a smoothie.
Oh my God.
I make you a great smoothie.
Upstairs,
I love
makes
smoothies.
Me want to stab myself. Go.
Well, I'm on a ground floor in a basement.
I don't care. There's stairs.
Do you like roaches?
I lived in a ground floor.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't like upstairs?
No, I want an upstairs.
It's
go.
Wonderful. I go upstairs on my little narrow spiral staircase. Hitchcock
don't try
trap.
To. Don't.
And I make the smoothie, give it to the child, and then the child comes in and begins vomiting pink smoothie goo all over the place. And now he's sick. So my
he
wife
went out drinking with her.
My wife wasn't hungover. She had a 24-hour flu, and now the child has it. So. So I spend the entire morning with them until the nanny comes in, and then the nanny's terrified of getting sick. My wife has to leave work. But more or less, I went full on Virgo, you know, like full on Virgo, taking care of everybody for about 36 hours straight.
Virgo right here.
Right. Virgos are a lot of work and they're worth it. But goddamn, when we have to be
my
the good
mother,
Virgo, well,
Virgo.
We could be the needy Virgo. It's
my
all
mother.
Good.
My mother, Virgo. So when was your birthday?
My birthday is September 3rd.
Oh,
September 11th.
August 30th.
Right on.
Yeah. August 30th. Is
nice.
My
two of my best friends share birthdays with you guys.
I'm November 15th.
Oh, okay. Well,
stop. Okay, go ahead.
So anyway, so, you know, that's my life. Like, you know,
you don't realize
God made babies cute so we won't eat them.
Yeah.
Right.
Or
and they are horrible people. Toddlers are
the worst
people in the world. Babies control the media. You can say anything about Israelis and Palestinians you want, but you can't say shit about babies.
Right.
Because they will throw you off the TV.
Right.
You can't say bad things about babies.
You know what?
But babies
fuck
will
babies.
They will smack you and bite you and manipulate you and hurt you, and you keep thinking love can change them. You think you can change.
But the problem is
babies are Chris Brown, we are Rihanna.
But look, now we have children, and not a lot of comics choose the child
and
way.
They are smart, happy people.
Now my father has, well, my father's passed away in 1990, and he has these two cousins, Norman and Vivian, and they're in their 90s. They still travel. They're, you know, and prior to, you know, my mother just passed, and I remember earlier in the year having a conversation with her about, you know, I said, you know, Vivian's sister died and they just got on a plane to Long Island. And she's like, well, I said, I don't get it. They're like in their 90s. They travel. They're, you know, no children. That's what she says to me.
Mm-hmm.
No chill. I'm like, you're what? Thanks. That makes me feel great. It's a lot of work.
I think if I didn't have a kid. And if I wasn't married, I could be another miserable alcoholic woman hating impotent comic in a bar.
But also, you know what? I do play with my when I had kids your age, we would play. What would we be doing now if we didn't have children?
Oh yeah, it's wonderful.
What would you be doing now if you didn't have children?
Not cursing my life.
Okay, so I want to go into your life.
You wouldn't be on the show.
Okay, I want to go into your life. Because I'm fascinated by you. I've been fascinated by you for many years. God damn it, I love you. Now, you, the oxymoron of you hosting America's Funniest Home Videos with that brain.
That's what I tried to tell my agents many times.
To me, I just never, like, that was like.
I know.
I'm like, take the money, honey, but.
Well, that was the thing. My agents had this weird medical syndrome where their eyeballs turned into dollar signs.
Right. Mm.
And, you know, I'd already been offered a lot of game shows, and I was in my early 20s, and I turned them all down. I was like, no, I'm an artist, damn you. And then I did this special with George Harrison and this special with Paul McCartney in the summer.
Yeah, yeah.
And then suddenly I was like, I had a little bit of heat because of those things. And they called me up and said, hey, they want you to audition for America's Funniest Home Videos. And I thought it was a joke. I literally thought it was a joke. And I said, you know, I'm doing a shoot for VH1 in Washington Square. I'm not free. And the agents called me and they said, hey, the casting director is in from L.A. She wants to see you. I said, I'm sorry. I'm shooting till 6. They said, well, she's taking a later flight to see you. And I thought, oh, I can't be a dick. I got to go in. So I go in and I'm just me and this casting director and I just mock the show. I've never watched an episode of the show. I know it's about cats falling off of cliffs into vats of battery acid and guys getting whacked in the groin with polo mallets and hilarious family fun. And I just mock it. And I leave. And I think it's done. And then they say they want me to go to L.A. to test for it. And I'm like, oh, I'm not the guy. I'm not the guy. And I go out there and I'm there and I see everybody, every guy in the world is out there. Every guy. I mean, every comic is out there.
They all have beautiful wavy hair like you?
Did you ever want to say to them, why are you?
I figured it out.
But at any point did you say, yeah, I kind of want this? Like,
no. I mean,
when you got the job, did you have a little bit of, oh, I got a job on TV?
Well, I already had a job on TV.
Right.
I mean, so I was working in cable on VH1.
I know, but this is a network show.
Yeah. Well, I got a kick out of it because it was so high profile. It was so not like me. I was trying to say yes to things because I was a very serious, angry person in my 20s. And I was ill-equipped to enjoy a fluffy job like this.
Right.
Now I get it. I could go there and do it and phone it in and have fun. Like Tom Bergeron's a master. I love him on that show because he's just so breezy and you can tell he doesn't care. And
right,
he's having
right,
a
right.
good time and he's excellent at that.
You have too much to say. Now,
I was offered all the prompter monkey jobs because I look like a weatherman from Omaha.
Right.
So I get offered
and
all the
bland. And you have a great voice and you're quirky. Yeah. You've got, all right, now.
It's when hard I actually, to pull that stuff
when
off.
I actually got it, I was at Sanibel with my girlfriend and her parents, and they called me up, and my agent and my manager together on the phone. I thought, oh no, and they said, well, you gave it your worst shot. And I, you know, when I they flew me out, I just went into the room and I mocked the show in front of everybody. They brought out Daisy Fuentes to have her stand next to me, and I made fun of her.
Right.
I tried to be David Letterman. I tried to be cantankerous and
crotchety.
And
they were like loving it.
They loved it. And then when I started on the first day, can you smile more?
Oh, fuck you.
Can we aerosol spray you a tan? Can you wear this Seacresty three-button suit, which is shiny? Can you
just like
shave?
A woman.
Can you? And I realized, oh, it's like the Brady,
Bunch episode. You get the same shit, like... It was about your looks and
when
stuff.
Greg became Johnny Bravo because
right.
he fit the
that.
Suit. And I thought, oh, y'all just wanted someone as tall as Daisy Fuentes who could ad-lib. That's why I'm here.
Yeah. Now, yeah, to make her look... Even
well, she's great. I mean, I got nothing but love for
I
her.
I love her.
But
listen, I
and a great team of people. The best crew I ever worked with in TV. But I was the wrong guy for it. They were bringing me in for meetings, showing me clips of me, saying, "Can you smile more? Can you not scowl when you do this?" I'm like, "But scowling got me the job."
Yeah.
Did your parents enjoy you on that show?
For the first 3 weeks, they got a real kick out of it. You know, my dad had retired. They were living in Virginia near my mom's family. They would go to like the mall and pay for something with a check, and the clerk would recognize the name, and that never happened. My name's like, you know, it's the German word for lactose intolerant. You don't hear it too much. So in the beginning, they got a kick out of it. And by the fourth week, they understood why I wasn't into it.
Now,
they thought it was kind of silly.
The story of your parents is... So beyond, I mean, it should be a movie. It should be a film. Your father was a Franciscan
brother. Yeah.
And your mother was a nun.
She was.
And they were.
And I do stand up because I will never be able to afford the therapy I need.
But you had parents, from what I've read, who adored each other.
Well, she loved him.
Mm-hmm.
He was in love with her.
Right.
And that was the driving dynamic of my life.
And do you feel like that's your relationship with your wife? Okay.
Whoa.
We'll move on.
Right? This is what she does.
Some days, yeah. I mean, but I think the greatest gift a male can have is a father madly in love with his female, or male, if that's what you got.
Right.
A father who's madly in love with his partner.
Now, my children don't have a father, so what are they missing
the
out
on? The greatest
of?
Gift they can have is a mom who's madly in love with their other mom. I mean, it's just, you know, you want to be raised by someone. Look, I never saw my mother open a car door. I don't know if she knows how to open a car
right,
door.
Right.
And right. I'm glad for that. I'm glad that, you know,
I came from, I know your parents were in World War II, right? Or
I mean, they were little kids.
Right. Okay. So they were alive during the... So my father was in the Army. Mm-hmm. He was born in 1916, my father.
Mm-hmm.
And,
cool.
You know, he was that man. I never saw him without a shirt on.
Yep.
I, you know, like all these guys would walk around drinking beer. I mean, he played the violin. He loved the opera. He loved gardening. Yeah. He was such like a Renaissance guy. Elise is like, he had to be gay. I'm like, he wasn't gay.
This is before TV and internet where men had to develop interests.
But you look at...
He was well-rounded.
You look at... movies of them at their honeymoon, it's like he can't keep his hands off her. And I'm like, she's so annoying. I can't, like, I think now that they're together somewhere, even though I don't believe in any of that, but I kind of do. And because I feel like your soul lives on.
I think so. Too.
Sound vibrations.
I feel like they're somewhere. And he's like, I was having 25 years. I had such a good, well, he doesn't talk like her. 25 years. I had such a good time.
But he was madly in love with her.
They fought so much.
Yeah, mine too.
And
but
he,
my dad, my dad
complain.
Was lustful towards my mother.
Yeah,
I understood
I don't know.
Lust from how my dad was.
Right.
My pop was always all over her, and he drove her nuts. And when he was in hospice, he drove her really crazy.
So do you?
Because she complained all the time because he couldn't do anything. He was just saying, "I love you, babe," all day long.
Right.
Oh,
made
right.
her
how did
nuts.
They
she complained
they...
the last time. The last word I heard him say was "babe." But then, as soon as he was gone, I realized, oh my God, you know, she loved him more than she ever knew. And once he was gone,
or more than she would admit.
Yeah.
So how did they meet?
Well, my mom was she nurse. Went into the convent right after high school. Her boyfriend at the time was a naval guy from Norfolk, and he proposed to her at the prom, and she said, "No, I'm already engaged to Jesus," and she went right into the convent. And I could never understand why a young woman
of 18
would do it.
I'm so glad she didn't marry him, but Jesus?
Well, I could never understand why, like, a young girl would choose a life of poverty, chastity, and obedience and servitude.
Unless she was a lesbian
back then. But she came from an abused family. Like, she had an abusive childhood?
There is speculation about that, yeah.
Also, she was probably...
My mother, I'll tell you what my mom said. She said, God, one of my aunts is going to hear this and freak out at me, because I said something on NPR once that got me in trouble. But my mom said to me that she went into the convent hating her father, and by the time she came out, she was indifferent towards him.
Oh, well, that's a good journey.
And
you
can do research about nuns and
I know.
Percentages.
We had a...
been interfered with as children.
Yes. Sharon, my ex, had this book she loved to read every night, Lesbian Nuns Speak Out.
Oh.
And it was interesting stories about these women who became nuns.
And I love nuns, but the convent put my mom through nursing school. They transferred up to Brooklyn to Holy Family Hospital. My dad had tuberculosis. He was a Franciscan brother, taught history to Catholic boys in Brooklyn, fell madly in love with this nun he met in the hallway one day. He was mostly healed and would come back for checkups.
And
he
would just
met this quiet Southern nun, fell madly in love with her, knew he couldn't tell her. Knew he couldn't say anything, so they became close friends, and then the convent transferred her to Africa to work first with lepers and then hospital in the jungles of Malawi. And I mean the jungle, like no TV, no radio. Snakes would come in and wrap around the bedpost, and she'd have to chase bats from the infirmary. Her dog was mauled by a porcupine once. Like, she was in the crocodiles would like snatch children away by the river when mothers did laundry. Like, she was in the jungle.
Right.
And my dad wrote letters every week giving all the news what was happening back in the States in the 60s with LBJ and Vietnam and civil rights.
Martin Luther King.
My dad was a Martin Luther King fanatic, and he was really into the Franciscans and social justice. For me, growing up, there were pictures of Gandhi and Dr. King all over the house. I first heard of Malcolm X as my dad had the giant hardcover book right on the bookshelf, and you know, my dad didn't want us to be Republicans, but he dressed us like them. You know what I mean? So he wrote letters every week. The Mother Superior would open the letters, read them out loud to whoever was around. That was the newspaper.
Right.
My mom was always the last to receive her mail.
Right.
The convent was a place where Sister Mary Frigid of the Immaculate Menopause would beat these women down, where they were conditioned to equate humility with self-loathing, which I think is a very, which is becoming a bygone thing in the Catholic Church.
I kind of think, that makes me think of Catholicism.
Well, I grew up thinking the harder I was on myself, the more virtuous I was, and the more God would find favor with me because I hated myself so much. And
well,
that's
Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah, but all that self-loathing shit is not Jesus. It's all the church.
It's absolutely.
It's all the unauthorized fan clubs.
Do you like being called an iconoclast?
The New Yorker called me an iconoclast, and I dug that. So
I like that for you.
You know, I don't know, because I don't think the Pope would consider me Catholic. I say the Catholic Church, Catholicism is my asexual orientation, but I don't know what I am. I'm a seeker. I'm a guy who trusts those looking for the truth. I don't trust those who claim they have the truth.
You're a question asker.
You have.
I get asked if I'm Christian, and I say I aspire to be.
Right.
You know, I think that's something like liberal or like loving. It's something that you have to aspire to be.
Yeah. That's
now, cool. Your parents get married. They have three kids.
Yeah.
Which one are you?
After 10 years, they had three. I mean, it took a long time for my dad. 10 years, my dad carried a torch and couldn't tell her. I was the oldest. I was the first.
Okay. Wow. And then you have two brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Any gays?
No.
Shit. And
but you know, my other brother Brian and I wound up hating Long Island where we lived.
Right.
We were right in the heart of the Buttafuoco Belt, and I found refuge in a regional theater.
Mm-hmm.
And then Brian came in with afterwards, and I did, you know, bit roles, and I did stage crew and lighting and sound, and I was like, you know, the three line role in The Misanthrope. Give the tall 15-year-old kid this role. And so I wound up being around gay men almost all of my free time from age 11 on.
Mm-hmm.
And that was transformative for me.
Now, what did your parents think of the gays?
They had no hang-ups whatsoever.
Really?
No hang-ups whatsoever. They weren't that kind of Christian.
Non-homophobic
Christians are the majority, but you wouldn't know that from the TV
news. The Catholic Church, 60% believe in marriage equality.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And more than that, believe in birth control.
Right.
It's just wow. I love the Pope. Do you the enjoy Catholic this Pope?
Is, you know, I like him, but I also am very cautious because he sucks on women, and I mean sucks on women issues. Mm-hmm. I mean he sucks on women. There is
and
no
little boys.
If he actually did.
No, he's good on that, and the biggest thing he's done. I mean he's done a lot of good talk, and he's moved the dial more from his rhetoric than any other Pope in terms of actual policies.
Yeah,
the one great thing he's done is reform the Vatican Bank because they were laundering the mob's money. There's a scandal so much bigger than child rape, and it's laundering murder money.
The child rape.
You know what? I think it's probably equal to the child rape scandal.
I don't know. I think the child rape is individuals doing it and being dealt with or not dealt with, but laundering the mob money in the Vatican Bank is institutional.
It's also individuals help hiding those other individuals.
Yeah, and there's so much corruption. And again, all the boy raping, well, here's what I say. That ain't Christian. That's Roman.
That's a little piece
of the Roman Empire that's been kept alive behind the Vatican walls.
But they also, I mean, I read about these unbelievable child pornography stings through the, and it's unbelievable that you would hate homosexuals and
A lot of them are homosexual.
I know.
But not the pedophiles. And this is what fucking Benedict did. The last Pope kept trying to blame all the pedophilia on gay priests.
Right.
Dude, gay priests have boyfriends.
Right.
Yeah.
In every culture that's ever kept records, the overwhelming majority of pedophiles are heterosexual identified males.
Right.
Yeah, the two don't go together, but there is a lot of homosexuality.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
Your father...
Benedict, I'm this new Pope, I will say, and he you know, he says a lot of good things about the gays, and then he goes to the Philippines and talks about gay marriage threatening the family. So there's a lot of double talk and jive going on.
Right.
But I love him. He's a great hero on climate change. He's the greatest hero on income inequality and poverty in the world. Mm-hmm. And I want him to hire 10 food tasters and live a long time.
Kill me now.
I read that your father had stem cell treatment in Thailand.
Yes.
And this was an Israeli/Thailand combo. Mm-hmm. The Israelis are doing incredible things with stem cells.
Oh, yeah.
I just got a thing from Hadassah, which is a Jewish, you know, philanthropic organization run by women, and they are doing this whole stem cell thing in Israel to cure ALS.
Well, yeah, because in Israel, they've actually read the Bible.
Right.
And they don't have any of these superstitious hang-ups that are not based in the Bible whatsoever. My dad had to go to Thailand for a procedure not available in America because the Bible says something about something, I think.
Right. Now, he...
And it was all adults. It was all his own stem cells from his blood.
And he lived 5 extra years.
They said it would give him 2 years. My dad went to the same place that Don Ho went before he died. And Don Ho didn't live too long. In
I wrote
an off-Broadway show about, you know, how I did a solo show about my parents that ran off-Broadway. And I got a Drama League nomination. I lost to Liev Schreiber, that hack. But
he sucks.
Hack.
He's so not
but, you know, what happened was when my dad had his second heart attack, they said to him, you could go any day. And my mom, the ex-nun who'd never, me and Charmy were together living in sin for 11 years, happy, never had a problem. My mother had never complained, but she pulls me in one night and she says, will you two please get married to give my husband something to stay alive for?
Wow.
The greatest act of parental guilt
in
history.
Can I just say something?
Jews
that
got nothing
is
on that.
Beyond Judea. I have to give you
the Catholic. Yeah,
can you
yeah.
please get married so your father doesn't die?
Yeah, that's.
Except without that
listen,
accent.
Oh, wait, well, I have to do a different accent.
Well, my mother, when she moved
can
to Florida,
you please get married?
When she moved to Florida, her southern accent began coming back after all these years of me never knowing. When I was a kid, I thought my mother was Julie Andrews. She'd been in Africa. She spoke like this all the time.
Oh, wow.
John. When they retired and went down south, she became more and more southern.
That's so
John, can I speak with you?
As a child, yeah. I thought she, like Emma Thompson in Howard's End is how my mother talked as a kid. I was in love with her.
John, I was just, you know, your father's dying, right? And I feel that if you married...
After 11 years of never once having a problem with us living in blissful sin, my mother throws this down.
If you married, your father would live. If you don't marry, your father will die.
Well, I said to her,
call me back with a response.
I said, Mom, I can't
circle
get married.
Yes or no.
I can't get married just to please my parents. That's what gay Republicans do.
Right.
But, mm-hmm. you know, she's kept at it. So after 11 years of courtship, we had 90 days to rush into marriage.
Do you?
And that's why we got married on Leap Day, because it was the soonest day we could find and nobody wanted to get married.
Oh, and now you don't have an anniversary except for every 4 years.
We only have to acknowledge it every presidential election cycle.
Oh, my God. That is terrific.
You caved.
But I wrote a whole play about it.
That's great.
And then the day, and you know, my dad went to Thailand for the stem cell treatment, the same thing Don Ho had done. The day the play opened, my parents came to New York for opening night, and Don Ho died that day.
Oh my God! That is terrible.
That's the best.
At least he didn't die on your wedding day.
No, that must have been better. Such a cool show, though.
Well, it was interesting, but they told my dad he would get 2 more years, and my dad went to Thailand in a wheelchair. He couldn't mm-hmm. walk anymore. Within 3 months, he was walking 3 miles a day. I would go down, and I couldn't keep up with him. I mean, it was incredible how he was transformed, and so he got stem cells. He lived,
right.
And I still have to be married.
Now,
And I still have to be married.
Still have to be married. Now, you went to Tisch, right?
And Yeah.
And you studied film and TV.
I was
and...
in the theater school for a couple of years, then I transferred to the film school.
But, yeah. When did you start doing the stand-up comedy, John? Because you're very talented in other ways, but how old were you and how did you start?
I was in my early 20s. It was in the 90s, and my first open mic was at the Boston Comedy Club.
Was I nice to you when you first met me?
You were.
See?
You had very short hair.
Ding, 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 ding.
Everyone's like, oh, she, you know, thinks like.
Well, you were Judy Gold nice to me. You made fun of a bit I did at the Boston Comedy Club one night. You mocked a bit I had done, and I felt so honored because I was so in awe of you.
Thank you.
But, you know, I had the stupidest opening, the stupidest first open mic ever. Because for years I wanted to do it, and I couldn't get myself up to do it. And then I started dating Charmy, and I was like, okay, now I'll do it. So I invited everybody I knew.
Oh, no, that's the stupidest thing.
Everybody I knew to Boston Comedy Club, so I couldn't back out of it. So they all showed up. My aunts from Staten Island, the whole schmear. And as soon as the club realized I was the open micer with 25 people in the audience, they kept bumping me and bumping me and bumping me. So they get more drinks out of my people. So Attell goes up, Chappelle goes up, Wally Collins goes up.
No.
You know, they finally had me follow the guy with cerebral palsy at like 2 in the morning.
Oh, that's great.
The guy who goes up, it's okay if you fail me. Everyone does. Like, that's the guy I follow.
I love that.
And I was like, well, fuck y'all. I'm doing 20 minutes. And I did. I didn't care. I got the light. I didn't care. I was like, I'm paying for a lot of drinks tonight. I'm
and
one
the
of
other
people.
Thing is, who else hates when they get the light? That's right. Me. Go.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I never get off.
But it wound up being great. And then I was hooked. And then I think Jim Gaffigan was the MC, my second show I did. And then my third show I did, Judy Gold gets on stage and makes fun of a bit I did. And it was such an honor.
Oh, thank you. Now, let me... I want to discuss the Bible a little bit with you because I feel like you know so much about the Bible.
Yeah, I know.
That's from
post-Catholic. When I finally got to a point, and I tried to be a good Catholic,
right.
Like all through college, I went to Mass every Sunday.
Right.
I went to Holy Days at NYU.
Right.
And my parents would come in, and I would take them to the NYU Catholic Center, where gay couples were openly welcomed and celebrated, which my parents loved.
Right.
And then I'd go down south, and I'd go to these homophobic right-wing churches, and I realized, oh my God, it's just a business. They send the progressive priests to the progressive areas, the conservative to the conservative areas, because the name of the game is getting old ladies to open up their purses and write a check.
Mm-hmm. Now,
it's all marketing.
Mm-hmm. Now,
that's why my dad got out of being a pastor.
Yeah, but then when I realized I couldn't kiss the ring anymore. I couldn't reconcile myself with the homophobia, the way women were treated, the stupid birth control prohibition, the stupid unbiblical celibacy rule, which only came about in 1139 AD because the church was greedy. Mm-hmm. And so when I got away from the church, I began really just becoming an amateur theologian and pouring myself into research.
Okay, so here's the deal. Okay.
And now I'm an atheist.
The problem and there are things that make me incredibly furious, like sad furious. Now, one, of course, is the way the world is changing, the way that no one knows what it's like to take a walk in nature without a fucking phone, where people
Hang on.
that people cannot communicate correctly. They don't make eye contact. Like, that pisses me off. And then... I don't understand why it is okay at a Republican, quote unquote, it wasn't a debate, but whatever, that they don't talk about, you know, crime and guns. They talk about God. Last question was about God.
They lie about God.
Right. And I can't, what the fuck is going, what the fuck? fuck is going on in this country? Like, I cannot. What I grew up in New Jersey in a suburb. My neighbors were Italian Catholic.
Long Island.
No one fucking cared. Like, I was a Jew. They were Catholic. There were Republicans and Democrats. No one fucking hated each other over their political. You know, Ford had dinners with, you know, Nixon. I mean, Ford was a. I can't. But you know what I'm talking about. You know, they would. Republicans and Democrats would be friends. I mean, like, I don't. Why the fuck are they allowed to do this god shit?
Well,
why are
in
they
a way,
allowed?
It's always been this way. I mean, there's always been this kind of bitter partisan rancor, you know, going back to Jefferson and Adams hating each other.
I mean,
John Adams outed Thomas Jefferson for selling his own children into slavery 200 years ago. The shit that the Clintons and the Obamas have taken is really nothing compared to what the Roosevelts took from the Republican Party. Like, this sort of toxic political discourse
I have to say.
But there wasn't this much media back then.
Right.
And it didn't saturate the culture and didn't get to all of our brain cells.
Right.
But I'm so angry all the time that it's made me physically sick, and I'm trying to find ways to adjust to it.
Right.
So, because I just spent, a year and a half working on this movie for PBS about the American dream, where we went to all the towns de Tocqueville went to. I interviewed 200 people in 55 cities and 17 states about how America got to be this fucked.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm neck deep in it, and I have a hard time containing my anger.
Mm.
And it goes to religion, the media, politics.
I just don't. I mean, like, I don't. Like.
Well, first off, know that you only get this angry because you love so much.
Mm-hmm.
So focus on the fact that the love is more important than the anger.
I understand, but I do not understand. You know, these people who are homophobes and racists.
We can't even tell that. We don't even know that. That's the worst thing about it. We don't know if they're bigots or if they're calculating non-bigots who pretend to be bigots to get the bigot vote.
Well,
I don't think Mitt Romney's a homophobe. I had this fight with Dan Savage. I think he's worse than a homophobe.
Right.
He's a non-homophobe who pretends to be one
because
he thinks that's how people are.
Right. And I think a lot of them are like that.
Absolutely.
Like, you cannot tell me.
George W. Bush went to a gay wedding.
I know.
Fucking fakes.
But
if you're gonna hate, really hate. Commit to your hate.
Look at Chris fucking Christie vetoes. You know, it passes. Gay marriage passes, and he fucking who the fuck are you? His sister's brother is gay. Like, you're my age and from New Jersey. There's no fucking way you don't have.
Sorry,
gay
but
friends.
That's just a bit of the tip of the gigantic iceberg.
Oh, that's
the Chris Christie hypocrisy.
And
pop.
When I say gigantic, I mean gigantic.
He's a large man.
Yeah. So
I don't do size jokes about Chris Christie.
I know, but I have
he
to.
He can still bounce back, and that's not a size joke. No, that's. Listen, he could still make. He could climb any mountain with the aid of about 2 dozen Sherpas.
Right.
He could do it, but still, that's just.
So the thing that we're based on separation of church and state, okay?
These
churches who preach hate and they preach, you know, anti-gay, they're
not Christian.
Everything.
We got to say they're fake Christians.
But they get tax deductions, correct?
Yes, they do.
They get tax deductions.
Gay
Why
marriage.
The fuck do they get tax deductions to teach people to fucking hate? Like, why the fuck? I go to a synagogue. There's a homeless shelter.
Yeah.
You know, there's a GLBTQRSTUV. Commission. They went up to New York to fight for. I mean, it's a do-gooder place.
It's love.
It's about helping. It's about.
And that's the only message Jesus had.
Now, Tikkun Olam. Do you know what that is?
No.
So that is the basic tenet of Judaism, social Judaism, and it's about you're here for Tikkun Olam to heal the world, to make the world a better place.
Yes, and that's the kind of Jew Jesus was, which the Gentiles have forgotten.
Right.
You know,
now,
in Jesus' day, if you wanted to experience God, you go out there and you fucking live. You do good deeds, and you be a mensch, and you laugh your ass off, and you love life. But when the Greeks translated it all, the Greeks believed in the invisible step god in the sky throwing lightning bolts down, and they're the ones who ruined Christianity.
Right. Now,
didn't Jesus believe in that, too?
No, Jesus mostly talked in metaphor. He said people always say Jesus said I didn't come to abolish the law but to fulfill it. Well, Jesus was big on metaphor, douchebag. He did abolish the law. Mm-hmm. Jesus overturned Old Testament laws on the death penalty, on divorce, on food purity, on
taxation.
Working on the Sabbath. He said pay your damn taxes, and he replaced the Ten Commandments with two: love God and love your neighbor as yourself.
But and also, you should be able to have
an imaginary
weapon.
Guy in the sky.
So,
no, he didn't. But
I
they
know,
tried
I'm
to.
Kidding.
But there's a passage passage in Luke where he says, sell your cloak and buy a sword, and they take that out of context and say Christ was pro-weapon.
Oh, they take things out of context?
And they don't even, because they haven't read the Bible. That's my favorite, by the way. It's my favorite taken out of context Bible verse.
Okay.
V.
It's G-O-D, and it's G-D if you're a Jew. You're not supposed to write the full name. Listen.
But you can say Hashem, right?
Right, Hashem,
Jehovah.
Yeah. God, you're so smart. Now, what I don't get is why do they get a fucking tax? I don't understand.
Well, that's a relic of a bygone era. That's not going to last forever.
Do you think they're not going to have tax? I always say this to people. When gay people these religious people, when gay people got the right to marry, first in Massachusetts, where did they go to get married? Did they go to church? Did they go to synagogue? Did they go to a mosque? Well, it'll never happen in a mosque, but you know what I mean.
It'll happen in a mosque.
But did they go there, you think?
Yeah.
They didn't go to any religious, they didn't go to a house of worship. They went to City Hall.
Yeah.
That's where they went because it's about the rights that two people who are together for 50, 60 years should be protected by the government,
mm-hmm.
just like two other people, just like Jerry Sandusky had more rights than I.
Exactly.
Eric Menendez.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mary Kay Letourneau.
Well, that marriage has actually worked out.
Can you believe that?
20 years.
Amazing,
I know,
right?
And he's
madly in love with her.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it's kind of beautiful.
I
had the biggest crush on my fourth grade
Woody
teacher.
Woody Allen and Sun Yi are together 20 years now.
I know,
sorry,
but that's
folks.
A little, that's like Elisa being with Henry.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's how I always say it.
Whoa.
Because he's her stepdad.
But right, he was not her stepdad.
What do you mean?
He never adopted her. He wasn't her stepdad.
No, she's his stepdad.
He was dating her mother.
Oh. Right. So Elisa dates me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We're not married yet.
Okay. But she lives with Henry.
No, we go back and forth.
Okay.
Because we have not found an apartment yet.
Okay.
And she, that would be like her.
Dating.
Yeah.
And that to me is.
Unethical, but not illegal.
I can't.
Well, she's also
and
gay.
And so you go.
Well, she is gay. That's true. Then it'd be really weird.
All right.
Look,
if
all
I had
I'm
a
saying
daughter,
is Mary Kay Letourneau is what marriage lasted. Woody Allen's marriage lasted. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. And
I'm sorry. Life is hard. You find what we're. I don't respect how Woody Allen dumped Mia Farrow. It was horrible.
Right.
But it's hard. Life is hard. If you find the love that works for you and you're not hurting anybody else, then go ahead. That's why I'm like, whatever you're into, polyamory, bisexuality, whatever works for you, hang on to it.
Right.
Just be
they're
good
old
to
enough
people.
To make their
I
decisions.
Just want. I was in Alaska last week, and I went on this catamaran, and we went. First of all, it was sort of like when I was in Israel, and I saw where Jesus walked over
the Via Dolorosa.
Yeah, and I remember standing there with Ted Alexandro, and I remember standing there, who was also on the podcast, and I.
All right.
I remember thinking, now I'm a Jew. I'm a real Jew, but
You're a Jew?
I'm very spirit. And I remember thinking.
I ate off the same plate as you. I had no idea.
You're disgusting.
Ugh.
So I remember thinking,
I'll
oh
be
my God.
With you.
Oh my God. this is. It looks like what it would have looked like then.
Yes.
It's no movie.
Yeah.
Studio could recreate the fact that this looks like the Bible, you know? So then I go to Alaska last week, and we're in this catamaran in the middle of the ocean, and I saw Russia. No. And we're in the middle. I saw Russian vodka, actually. But we're in the middle of this ocean, and I'm looking around, and, you know, we see these sea otters playing. Then we see a mom humpback whale with her calf. And then we see a bunch of humpback whales, and every species is endangered. And I'm looking around, and it's like it's really like the same feeling. Oh my God, this is the earth. This is the earth. And when we got to Alaska, all you could hear was like these loud, like explosions, and it was the glaciers falling into the
mm-hmm.
ocean.
Mm-hmm.
I was there 6 years ago. And the, there were icebergs in the water. None.
Yeah.
None when I was here this time. And I look at the planet, and I feel like the planet's dying. I think it's our fault.
Planet's not dying.
You don't think so?
The planet will take care of itself.
No, the planet's regenerating. The planet's rebooting.
But, so you know, do you believe in climate change?
Yeah, I do, but I also...
Do you think it's man-made?
I believe man-made activity contributes to climate change.
What about China and their air?
Absolutely. They're the most horrible polluters. Linfeng, China, is the most polluted city in the world.
And these people are dying of, like, lung diseases.
They are.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
Okay, so...
But see, what the Earth's going to do about this, the Earth's going to solve it. Our little legislation won't solve it, and we have enough politicians here and in Asia and in Europe that'll make sure we do nothing. We're a very dumb bunch of monkeys.
Okay.
What's going to happen
G-O-V.
Is... You know how the Earth is going to shake us off its shoulders like dandruff? Not all of us, but the Earth is going to handle this problem of all these emissions by making sure there are less... emission-creating Homo sapiens.
And
there will
and
be
what
less
if
of
they're
us?
Homosexual, the emission?
As long as they don't live in coastal areas,
now,
they should be okay.
Now, what if they, you know, when you talk about emissions...
You don't see a lot of climate scientists buying beachfront property, if you
let me just say, the emissions are also farts. Also ruin the...
Yeah, I mean, you want to get rid of climate change.
Stop farting.
No, cows. It's the methane from cow flatulence. And, cows and eating beef causes more damage to our air than cars do at this point. So they say.
And have you ever lit a fart? Have you ever tried to light a
that
fart?
I have not. I have not reached a point of boredom, Judy, where I've actually done that.
I was stoned and in college. And I'm going to go with very stoned.
Okay.
And we were like, and you know, I'm a little boy deep down inside. And it was like, it blew up like a, you know, torch.
I
feel like I
went
am contributing. I have to eat slower and stop drinking so much coffee and the world would change.
Everybody... cut back on your meat intake.
Well, this is the thing, and I have this fight with vegans all the time, and I had a big fight with Jamie Kilstein about this because I love Jamie. And you know, how do you know if someone's a vegan? Do nothing. They'll tell you. But
oh no, this is my favorite. You know, they're like,
and
can
Jamie's
you come
incredibly
over for
moral.
Dinner?
He's great. I love
but
Jamie.
I cannot deal with. Can you come over for dinner? Well, Jamie's a vegan, so then fucking tell him to bring his own fucking food.
No,
like,
listen,
I can't.
We went to Pure Food and Wine. Me and Charmy and Jamie and Eddie Brill and Kelly Carlin. Like, I go to vegan places with them. But what I say is, people will part with their religion before they part with their comfort food,
right?
Like, food is our greatest drug, even more than love.
Right.
So if you go out there and say, hey, stop eating meat, people are going to shut down. I say this is a huge carnivore. Yep. My dad was a butcher before we got married.
Parents, not kosher.
My parents grew up in the Depression.
Not
so
a kosher.
So for them, if you can have meat twice a day, you have made it. And for my parents growing up, her in the South, him in Brooklyn in the Depression, meat every day, that means that you're rich. So my parents ate a lot of meat, and my dad died of heart disease slowly and brutally in his 70s. And it was awful. When my wife became a vegetarian after a McCartney show in L.A. like a dozen years ago, I thought, oh, my God, how am I going to do this? Mm-hmm. But
Was it because of the McCartney show?
It was on the way home from the McCartney show, she said, I'm going to stop eating meat. And she did, and it changed her life. But here's the thing. Cool. You
like,
say
she
stop
feels better?
Oh, yeah.
Did she lose weight?
Oh, yeah.
Fuck.
But when I tried to be vegetarian, I wound up like eating too much bread and I was passing out at concerts and she made me go back. She read the Eat for Your Blood type books. It said type O blood, eat meat, avoid wheat.
Are you positive?
Are you O?
Yeah, it says for type O.
My dad is O.
If you want to know
O
about
positive.
This, well, then
I say that is the only positive thing about me is O, is that I'm O.
According to this particular fad diet, you should eat meat and vegetables, avoid wheat.
I eat too much wheat and I get really sick.
And A blood is the Asian blood type. And
I'm A blood.
That's like tofu and vegetables, and you shouldn't eat it.
Yeah, wait, A positive.
Okay,
it's good for vegetarian.
It's just A.
You
don't worry about
buy
it.
Buy the book, goddamn.
So wait, I'm going to eat meat and vegetables and less wheat.
Eat right.
But I love challah. I mentioned I love challah.
You can still have it.
All right,
just in moderation.
Just not a lot.
But here's what I say. What about the eat less meat movement? Because you say you don't eat meat anymore, people shut down. When I was a carnivore and someone said vegetarian, I don't care. I know it's moral. I know it's healthier. I shut down. But if you come out and say, hey, how about you want to make Paul McCartney happy and be good to your colon and the rainforest and the cows? Just eat less meat.
But you know, when kosher...
I said to Jamie, I'm saving more cows than you.
Okay. Now, kosher, you know how the kosher meat goes. Kosher... The reason it's kosher is the animal is killed in the least painful way for the animal.
Is it still given hormones and antibiotics?
No.
Okay, then
really?
Eat kosher meat.
No. And they have
no one talks about bovine growth hormone in this country.
Well, they have organic kosher meat. So yeah. And
it's a mass killer.
And it's also they do a vein that's very it's painless.
And they're evil cows who deserve it, right?
Right. Okay. Like Elsa.
Yeah.
Bitch.
Ugh.
I mean, I don't even want to get into
Bossy.
Elsa.
Yeah.
But, you know, and so and they salt it. They have to salt it for a certain amount. And you could go on the, like, if you went to a kosher butcher, you could get in the back and say, can I see the, you know, they're right. So, and I grew up kosher, and I just eat kosher meat. I prefer kosher meat. But I don't, when I go out, I don't, you know, I'll eat whatever. But
I respect your superstition.
And I also, it is totally superstition.
We respect yours.
But the thing is I feel like my body needs meat. Especially before I get my period, even though I'm going to be 53 in November, and I still get my fucking period.
You look gorgeous. Well, you know, Michael Stipe said one night, you know, Michael Stipe used to brag at every REM show how a vegetarian he was. And then he said one night he was staying at a friend's place, and at like 2 in the morning, his body said, to him, we need tuna fish now. And he went down and ate tuna fish and broke his and he said, my body needed it. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
that's how
this friend of mine got pregnant and like vegetarian for like ever, 25 years.
Listen to your body.
And all she wanted was a bacon cheeseburger. Huh. And she went to the diner and that was the end.
Let me tell you one little secret I've discovered. Definitely read the Eat for Your Blood Type book and you can still eat less meat. But if you're craving meat, here's something I found
that's
crazy.
Iron. That's low
but
iron.
It's also fats. And sometimes, like a couple of spoonfuls of raw almond butter will trick your body.
I love
a couple of spoonfuls of almond butter, and your body will think you just had a burger. It works. You can trick your body.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It's craving the
fats.
So,
like, okay. Now, here's the thing. I want to discuss with you. Because
we just got to trick our taste buds.
The social media. Now, you're on social media, you're great at social media.
No, I'm not. It's awful.
Okay. Everything I fucking say. By the way, take a picture of his bracelet because we have to put it on. That is the fuck. It's like bicycle.
Bicycle chains, yeah.
I need that.
I'll
Where did you get
you.
That? You will? Because, you know, I ride my bicycle everywhere.
I know. I do, too, now because of you.
I'm a bike messenger.
Is that why?
Well, no. I got this before, but I'm riding my bike to work every day now.
Not because of me.
Well, you inspired me coming in with your helmet to the studio. I come in with my helmet every day now.
Love you. Okay, so the social media thing is like, and I say this in my act, like my kids will never know what it's like to get stoned, go to Tower Records for 4 hours and look through albums and just stick and look through albums, album covers.
That's true.
Read the liner notes and no one bothers you. And that was my gift to when I did something or I worked really hard. That was my gift to myself.
Me too. I miss record stores. I miss record stores so much. And imagine how much we're all going to miss bookstores in 20 years.
I feel really sad. Yeah. I feel like I don't know. I have kids, but I really don't know what the world is going to
be like.
And it's
the world's going to keep on changing. And if you resist it, that'll cause suffering. I don't mean to go all Buddhist on you, but it's like, look, I can be angry that people are attached to their phones all the time. Or I can just say, this is how the world is and how my species is going. And I'm just riding the wave.
It does upset me. And I feel like I'm very sentimental. I'll never not wear a watch. I feel like with a face, I have these things that I have to.
What don't you like about social media?
There are some things I like about it. I don't like that someone, especially as a comic, can be a funny tweeter and then gets headlined somewhere and has no idea how to do an hour.
Yes, I've noticed
that. In any circumstances whatsoever. I've often said this on the show. When I went on the road, when you went on the road, no internet, no cell phone, couldn't afford to make phone calls, had to read and write. Or go to museums or do something.
Arithmetic.
And don't.
You've contributed nothing.
Right. And that is. I heard a voice. I don't know what it's coming from
everybody.
Another studio. But, you know, I just feel like, okay, yes, the world is changing. I don't think that it's in a better. I think the loss of humor and to have a watch.
I don't know if good
tell
or bad
you
apply.
It's time for you to get up and walk around instead of thinking, oh, I feel like I should get up. Like, I don't, that, everything It's like overly religious people who need a book to tell them how to think, how to eat, how to do everything. That is what the Apple Watch is a fucking over-orthodox religious human being.
It's also conditioning us to be amused and not notice how badly we're all getting fucked.
And conditioning
middle
us
class
to be
has
tracked.
Disappeared. Yeah.
Yeah. To be what?
Tracked.
Well, sure.
I mean, you can't lie anymore. You can't say, oh my God, I totally called. No one answered. I called. It was busy. You can't, you have to get rid of, I had a joke about the plane.
It's ruining adultery, by the way.
Yeah. It really is. Mm-hmm.
And Ashley Madison, I mean.
Oh, I know. How funny was that?
That was great.
That was fantastic. Listen, adultery is wrong unless you're sleeping with the wife of the guy who runs Ashley Madison.
Right.
That's
mm-hmm.
my fantasy.
Yeah.
I want her
I
so
love that.
Bad. I want, I'm going to take
Do you know
pictures.
What she looks like?
I don't care what she looks like. I want her. I'm going to make
Let
her
Let me
mom.
Just
oh,
say,
yeah.
the,
Let's run a train
I
on
think
her.
The CEO of Ashley Madison,
mm-hmm.
Jew. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Awesome.
Okay, so you know the
they
priests,
hate adultery. Go on.
The priests may molest the boys, but the Jew, the rabbis, love to have the women in the office while he, you know, they're counseling them on their marital issues.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it's work. You feel like it's getting better. What do you like? I can't.
I can't attach any subjective value to it. You know, like I see the changes. I try not to be too freaked out by the changes. I'm not an enthusiast. You know, like I know people who just love everything tech, and I know people who resist everything tech. I'm just kind of like,
no,
this
I do
is how the
tech,
world is. We are Rome with free ringtones.
Okay, but I feel like I do the tech. And there's some things about it I like, but I feel like overall my kids watching a movie on their computer on the couch and
you haven't lived until you've seen Lawrence of Arabia on a 3-inch iPhone screen. Can I tell you that? You know, it's like you don't have to like the new normal, but it's going to be the new normal.
Right. But yeah, I mean, Dustin Hoffman is right. Movies suck now. Everyone just wants to watch TV.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard for me.
And, you know, I actually didn't get to read that full Dustin Hoffman interview because I was watching Meet the Fockers 2. So I didn't
oh,
quite
Oh, that's
get to,
such, I know.
Yeah, so, you know.
John, you have an edge. You have an edge.
There's still good movies out there. It's crazy.
I mean,
now
Dustin I know. But
wrong.
You know what I mean.
I know
it's
what you
like
mean.
These TV shows are taking over and they're binge watching. It's like.
And, you know, movie theater's going to go away too. That's going to go away in our lifetime.
No.
Yeah, that whole community notion. I mean, we used to be a nation of joiners, we used to have bowling leagues. We used to have town halls
right.
where we go meet.
It'll pendulum back.
No, it won't. We're all going to, you know, the internet does bring us closer together
right.
in some ways, but it really keeps us in our little pods and many others.
I think it will pendulum back. I think as humans, we need interaction, and
right,
I think eventually we'll get hungry enough to where we'll start doing that again. We'll call
Ben,
it new.
Ben mm-hmm. has this friend, and Margot, and her mother makes them all put their cell phones in a basket when they come in the house.
That's
really?
Great.
And they hate going over there.
Yeah, good for her. Good for Margot.
And I'm like, I love her. I want you to go to Margot's house. No, because I'll walk in his room. They just sit there on their phones.
Yeah. Even while they're watching
TV. I go, why are you even here
right.
with each other? You're just fucking. And then they'll text me. Ben, literally, I live in a 950 square foot apartment. I'll be in the living room. What's for dinner? Text.
No.
Like you can't fucking get
no.
up. Yes.
That's
always.
How he was raised, Judy. That's how he was raised. Oh, fuck. Sorry.
All right. I do have to say, last night, I was laying in bed and I forgot to close my door. And I did text Henry in the next room. Could you please
do
close
you like,
my door?
Do you like Twitter? Because you're very funny on it.
I hate the oh, my God, I haven't tweeted thing.
Yeah.
Like, because some days I'm not in a tweet mood.
But you're such a good joke writer. Like, I got Dick Cavett to join Twitter. I was guest hosting Joy Behar's show, and I had Cavett as a guest. And mm-hmm. on the air, I got him to join Twitter and set up an account. We made a whole bit out of it.
Right.
And because I said to him, you know, S.J. Perlman or Groucho would thrive on this now.
Right.
And Cavett's so great at the one-liners. He couldn't get into it. He still doesn't do it. And
yeah.
I was so mad because when you're that good a wit, it's a great way to reach people that you would never reach. And I reached a lot of people through Twitter that I would never reach through the various silly TV shows.
And
I've
you
done.
Have a lot of Twitter followers.
It's okay. I don't know what I mean. I got friends with a million. I don't think I have that many.
I know. That's what I don't get. There are some people who have a million and I have no idea who they are.
They're all they do shows that kids watch.
Right.
You know, and that's
I mean, you look up Carole King. She's got like Doris Kearns Goodwin.
I know. Ruth Buzzy has like, you know, 200 followers.
I don't know. James Taylor. Like, it's unbelievable.
It's mortifying when I see someone I've admired my whole life who's done so much great work and they have like a third of the Twitter followers I have.
Right.
Politicians, journalists. I mean, people who are so much better than me. And by the way, it's affected acting as well, because casting directors will tell me all the time that they look at someone's social media following sometimes more than they look at your resume. They take into consideration not where you trained, not what you've done, not what roles you've done, but how big a social media fan base you have.
Now, don't you think that's a bad thing?
I think it's a very bad thing.
That's how comics get
booked. Unless it gets me roles. Unless it gets me work. Right.
That's only based on if you're good at Twitter or not, or if you started Twitter. Like,
no, or if you had some stupid video online.
Correct. It doesn't mean that you're a good actor at all, but it does mean you can help the marketing campaign for the project when it comes out, because you've got 100,000 followers.
But look at me. I get a lot. I mean, I did a show last week in East Hampton, and they were like, I can't believe your audience. There's like young kids.
Scott Blakeman
opened
for
you. Yes. Young boys, young kids and girls. Yeah, like, and then you have old Jews, you have jappy women, and then you have the gays.
Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful. And I wish I could get that audience.
It's amazing. What?
No, we just got to wrap up because Ophira's here and she's on a tight schedule.
Yeah, I'm on a tight vagina.
Yeah, I see.
Okay.
I see that.
Ophira Eisenberg?
Yeah.
I'm doing a show with her next week.
Oh, fuck you. You know what, John? When are you doing a show with me?
When you invite me instead of Invite me instead of Scott Blakeman.
You're not opening for me.
I open for you in a second.
No, he called and said, Judy, it's Scott. Can I open for you? I'm a Jew.
The Jew thing. I understand.
No, he did it on his own.
You Christ killers have to stick together.
We asked
you
everyone.
You got to keep the Goyim out. Goyim can't even open for Judy Gold.
Everyone. That's so not true.
Goy, crazy Goy. Turn off the juice, Goy.
All right, just question. Ask everyone this question. Are you on any antidepressants? Anxiety, anything?
As of New Year's Day, I will be 10 years clean of all mirth control. That's
what I call it. Mirth control.
I was on everything.
What were you on?
I was on Wellbutrin.
That's what I'm on.
Paxil.
Check.
I was on Effexor.
Check.
I was on Cerazone.
No.
Nefazodone.
No.
I was on Buspar twice.
Oh, yes. Me too.
And I was on Zoloft.
Okay. So I have five out of those.
Yeah.
And what happened when you went off? And did you do it slowly?
Well, it was different for every one of them. I mean, Wellbutrin didn't work, so they put me on Zoloft. That didn't work, so they put me on Paxil. Mm-hmm. That just destroyed my nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Let me tell you something.
I'm on Paxil.
I went off. You know, here's the thing with Paxil. If it works for you, great. Like, I view with antidepressants, I'm not against them. If you find what works for you, great. Although, I really do believe that if you just rely on a pill and not a pill with talk therapy, you're kind of selling yourself short.
Oh, I do therapy.
Yeah,
twice
so do
a week.
I.
Go.
But when I went off Paxil, I went off cold turkey because I was so depressed. I was like, this does not work.
Right.
And so I went off completely. And later in my Paxil support groups, my ex-Paxil support groups, I learned that there's a very high suicide risk if you quit at cold turkey. So taper that stuff. When I finally went off of Cerazone, it was in late 2005, and I spent 6 months tapering because I tried to quit it three times. It was disastrous.
Wow.
And, you know, my side effect was this thing called marked agitation, which sounds very benign, marked agitation.
Oh,
in real life, it was me ripping my shirts off, smashing plates on my head. I once had a fit on the street in Studio City. Rick Overton had to hug me.
When was this?
10 years ago.
And this was
tapering.
On what?
Getting off of Cerazone, also known as Nefazodone, which was banned in Europe because it caused liver failure.
I have had that. I have had
not
those.
Banned in America, but banned in Europe. And that was my last one.
I have had those experiences of that anger of like...
Yeah, I mean, I was like, anger fits. And, and a lot of it's, you know, the usual frustrations, but you can't control. And so I knew that the antidepressants weren't working for me. And I found what works for me is a formula of sleep, exercise, and creativity. That's it. I have to get enough sleep. I have to get exercise.
God damn,
I have to be creative.
I do those three things, and I meditate.
Well, I should be meditating. I just have a child. There's no time for it.
I will meditate. I will meet you at the studio. We can meditate together. I'm not kidding.
Do you sit in silence?
Yes.
You don't do a guided meditation?
I don't have to now.
You don't do a mantra or anything, right? You don't do a TM or anything?
No.
You sit. How long did it take you to get good at it?
It took a while. It took a really long time. I will do mantra and I will do other things to mix it up.
Yeah.
But I can now actually get into the mindfulness.
Well, that's what I—that's what's lacking in my life.
Okay,
I have to tell you, O'Donnell led us through, taught a meditation on one of Judy's earlier Kill Me Now shows.
Really?
Yeah.
That actually has been working for me a lot. And if you want to go back and listen, like, it's somewhere in the middle of it. But honest,
it's all
to
about
God,
you.
No.
Will you send me a link?
I will. Okay. She walks you through it, and it's great. And you can also find it at judygold.com/killmenow.
You know, yeah.
And
John, she's been so good to me.
It's so funny that you're living with your ex and your wife right now. My wife has a show with her ex, Keith, mm-hmm. and the girl, and we're going on tour this October. We're all going to be in a bus together for 2 weeks, just going around different states or whatever, you know, with Keith and the girl. Do you have any pointers?
Well, my wife and I are legally a gay couple because all the people we hang out with are ex-lovers. So it's, you know, like, that's just
John,
how it is.
And you haven't brought me in. You haven't brought me into the group.
You're spoken for. Thank you.
Whatever. John.
I would take you down, white girl. Let me tell you something. I'm the breeder.
Fine.
I'm the breeder. The lesbians will, they'll dip their toe in my pond.
Because you have a Katie Lang lookalike thing going. Now,
yes.
John.
But yeah, but I was on antidepressants for a long time and it didn't work for me. And I it was very hard getting off.
Well, wow. I do find it was hard getting off when I was on certain antidepressants.
Well, Paxil, you're talking about Paxil.
Right. Now I have a little combo with the Wellbutrin and I'm back to my normal self.
Because Paxil was just like putting
20
blankets over your libido.
And
you know,
so
it's like I still could do it. I just had felt nothing.
Right.
I was not invested.
You have a great show on Sirius XM.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I love it, and I'd like to
Me
go
too.
On next week if I can.
Yeah, let's all.
Oh, I can. I can promote the thing. Your thing is going to come out on Tuesday, and we'll promote it.
This thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Now it's 3 hours.
Yes, 3 hours
and it's
every day.
Sort of the three dimensions of your personality.
Well, you know, when they came to me, they said, we're launching a new channel. It's like NPR with dick jokes. And would you do a daily show for us? And Pete Dominic was setting up the channel. And I love Pete. And I thought, well, when an artist asks
Pete, why don't you call Judy Gold?
No, I thought I have a baby and I want to get off the road and I could use a gig because my TV show had ended. And
I love that. It is like NPR with dick jokes.
Yes.
My tour had ended and the Katie Couric show had ended and I wasn't working. So I was like, perfect timing. And I don't want to live on the road. So I said, yeah. And I pitched them like three shows in one. It's like 1 hour of political talk, 1 hour like NPR, fresh air, one-on-ones with authors and science people, relationships, family, celebrities, directors. And then 1 hour early Howard Stern where I just bring in comics. You know, the three kinds of radio I like, political talk, NPR style interview and just comics being inappropriate. And I said I wanted it to be three shows a day, every day, which is, I didn't know how mentally taxing that would be. You know, just doing, if you just talk politics for 3 hours and the phones are ringing, you're doing one thing, then you can move on. But it actually takes a lot of energy.
I'm sure.
I've got
to
read
like
so many books and I've got to, like, you know, do so much research and prep for it.
Well, you're doing three shows in one.
It's three shows a day, yeah. But it's interesting. I'm learning so much.
Right.
It's so good.
I'm not a curious person, so I was forcing myself to become one because I wanted to be more curious. So it's great fun. And Judy Gold was on the show
curious.
The first week we were on the air. And we've had great guests. And I mean, we've had like Brian Wilson and Willie Nelson and just amazing people.
All right. Just stop bragging. The show
next
is
week,
great.
Next week, Cindy Lauper, Rita Rudner, and Stephanie Miller.
You're kidding me.
What about Judy Gold?
Cindy Lauper.
And Judy Gold.
Me and my wife, our song that we dance, like our fucking song is Time After Time. That
really?
Is our song.
Wow. So few couples ever used that song, too.
I know.
That song was, no one ever put that song on a mixtape in the 80s.
All right. Anyway,
you heard it here first, folks.
So that show is on Sirius.
Sirius XM 121, 2 to 5 p.m. Monday to Friday Eastern Time. With Frank Conniff.
With the incredible Frank Conniff. Mm-hmm. And your social media.
By
John,
the way, it's so hip that you had Frank Conniff as your first guest.
I know.
That's the hippest thing I ever heard.
Because I love him.
There's no one like him.
I know.
And he freaks people out until they get to realize he's actually kind of a genius.
He's awesome.
Kind of a genius.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
he's beyond.
He's so brilliant. He's so brilliant.
JohnFugelsang.com.
Yeah, that's a bit in disrepair. We're working on
that. Okay. At John Fugelsang?
Yes. And the John Fugelsang page on the Facebook.
Facebook. That's so Jewish. I'm on the Facebook.
We're going to go watch the Star Wars, and then we're going to go watch the Seinfeld on TV later on. If you're my dad, the Steinfeld.
I cannot thank you enough for being here.
I have wanted to do this since you launched it. You are one of the comedians. You're not just one of the comedians who inspired me from the beginning, but you're one of the first ones to be nice to me. Like, there was a couple my first year who were really nice to me. You were good. Gaffigan was good. A few people. And I could never give you what you've given me, and I learn from you every time I watch you perform.
Oh my God, John, I cannot. That is so much for me to take in, and I'm glad I took my meds this morning.
I am too.
And I
took mine. It's the only reason I'm talking like this.
And everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long.